stand up for a minute. I feel like you've been sitting for a bit. Just stand up for a minute. Stretch your legs. We're going to pray together. Amen. We're going to pray. Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you, God, for your spirit at work in hearts and lives. Lord, we just say, Lord, have your way in us. Lord, we want to position ourselves to not just hear, but to understand. We don't want to just see with our natural eyes, but we want to perceive. We want to perceive, Lord, what you're showing us in the spirit. So, Lord, we let go of any distractions right now. Anything that's in our mind, God, we just give to you right now that we would hear what you were saying to us, that your spirit would have his way in us and that your word would be planted in us, oh God, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Amen. So we're in a series about the kingdom of God right now. I wanted to lay a foundation over these first 3 weeks before other people shared and preached, brought the word on a Sunday, because I think it's important that we get some sort of foundation that's actually happening. The kingdom of God is not a religion. The kingdom of God is not even an institution. It's a spiritual kingdom ruled by the King of Glory. Amen. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's interesting in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to go all the way back to in the beginning. Hello. Genesis 1, 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and they will rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God, and he created them male and female. I'll just say that again. He created them male and female, and he blessed them. And he said to them, God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. That's what God said to them. Let me say that again. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. I want to focus on that last part, subdue it. You know, from sin. So that was what God was calling Adam and Eve to do in his likeness, to rule over and to subdue the earth. Amen. But when sin entered the world, battles entered the world. Not just external battles, not just wars and you know, external things, but also the internal battles against sin. The truth was that no one could follow the law perfectly. And so God, the Father, sent his Son until Jesus. Jesus could follow it absolutely perfectly. He was tempted in all things, yet was without sin. Is there an amen? And he restored what had been lost. Psalm 24 says this, the earth and everything in it, the world and all its inhabitants belong to the Lord's. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, it's his. It doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's, then the fullness thereof, all the people, for he laid its foundations on the seas and established its rivers. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not appealed to what is false, and who has not sworn deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who inquire of him, who seek the face of God. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, you ancient doors. Let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty. Is there an amen? It is a spiritual kingdom ruled by the King of Glory. Jesus lived the perfect life, yet he was tempted in all things, but was without sin. He overcame and defeated sin, death, and the grave, and Satan in the process, and was given the name that is above every other name, which we've already sung this morning. Jesus, the name above every other name. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Is there an amen to that? Give him praise. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. The one who knew no sin, he became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's already been referred to this morning, but God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Amen? To save it. He came to save the world, not condemn it, but to save it. And for those who come to Jesus, repent, turn to him, we're born again spiritually. And this is key for the kingdom of God. We've referred to it over the last 12 months a lot, but the story of Jesus and Nicodemus in John 3. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, truly I tell you, unless someone is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless someone is born again from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see. It makes no sense to you unless you were born again from above. And so Nicodemus is going, well, how on earth can I get back in my mother's womb again? And it's like he's not talking about that. We're talking spiritually here. Unless one is born of the water and the spirit, he says in verse 5, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, doing good things, trying to be a good person, he's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. We are to be born again of water and of the Spirit, and we enter the kingdom of God. And in that place, the old has gone and the new has come. Amen? Over your life, the old has gone and the new has come. We are to live for him. And as we've been reminded the last 2 weeks, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is his right way of living. What was lost through sin is now our mandate again. Multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. We're talking spiritually now. We're talking spiritually. Jesus said, go and make disciples of nations. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I've commanded you until the end of the age. I'm with you. The mandate that was given to Adam and Eve that was lost through sin has been restored through Christ. And now spiritually we are to go and make disciples of nations. Is there an amen? That's it. Jesus said in Matthew 16, he said, and I say to you, Peter, that on this rock, remember it's not Peter. It is the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. On this rock, of this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. The Jewish teaching was whatever is allowed in heaven is allowed on earth, and what is not allowed in heaven is not allowed on earth. You see, that's part of our subduing, ruling over. It's not allowed. We need to rise up in this spiritual authority that we've been given in Christ to start to bind and loose in Jesus' name. You know, there's so many questions. We could go in so many different directions today. When was the last time you fasted? When was the last time you went without a meal and you spent that half an hour seeking the Lord? When was the last time you went without food for a day? and you started to seek the Lord. It's actually meant to be part of our lifestyle. It's actually not an optional extra. You know, oh yeah, I'll have seat warmers for my new car, please. No, no, it's not an optional extra. It's part of our life. We actually need to get the stuff of the world out of us. And you know that, and you know that the two things that have the greatest hold on us, food and finance. And relationships wouldn't be that far behind. Those three things can have the greatest hold on us. Food, cravings for food. You break it by starting to fast and start to seek the Lord. Finance. You start to sow. You start to sow sacrificially. You start to break the hold. Whatever is allowed in heaven is allowed on earth, and what is not allowed in heaven is not allowed on earth. Brothers and sisters, that's our mandate. Your kingdom come, O God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there an amen? The kingdom of God. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God. He spoke about the kingdom. Matthew 4, verse 17, after his baptism and his temptation, it says, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Verse 23, Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the... Yeah, that wasn't a trick question. Preaching the good news of the kingdom. That's what Jesus was preaching about. And we think, oh yeah, but what about, you know, is there more than this? Absolutely. Jesus had so much more to teach his disciples. When he was on earth for that period of 40 days, it actually says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, after he had suffered and he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. It was so important to Jesus that he didn't just, when he was walking and he was demonstrating the kingdom, demons come out in Jesus' name. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk again. As he ministered and demonstrated the kingdom, there was so much more that he wanted to share with them that in that 40-day period, he had to speak to them more about the kingdom of God. Is there an amen? Are we going okay? I'm trying to move through this quickly, but I don't want to miss anything. It wasn't just a Jesus thing. The disciples, the apostles, they taught about the kingdom of God. We've been reading through the book of Acts, amen? Well, some of us have been. And in Acts chapter 20, I think it's verse 25, yeah, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he says, now I know that none of you among whom I went about preaching the, not a trick question, preaching the kingdom, will ever see me again. Paul was going about the churches preaching the kingdom of God. Yes, he was preaching the gospel. Yes, he was preaching Jesus. That's all part of the kingdom. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Remember, the kingdom is not an institution. It's not a religion. It's a spiritual kingdom ruled by the King of Glory. And his heart is that none would perish. None would perish. That's the heart of God. He's made the provision. That was just the intro. No, just kidding. The verse of scripture that just keeps coming back to me every week that I'm praying at the moment is 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. It just keeps reverberating in my spirit as I'm praying. And it says, but you, that's you together. Remember, you, it's a plural, it's not singular. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous, wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're a chosen race. You are a peculiar people now. You don't belong to this world. You're just passing through. You're passing through. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. Jesus is the King of Kings. We have royalty now because of what Jesus has done for us. We're called to rule. We're called to subdue. We're called to enforce your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord. A holy nation. You are a holy nation. You're not called to fit in. You're called to be set apart. Is there an amen? We're not called to fit into this world. We're called to be set apart. Set apart for the Lord, His plans, His purposes, His glory. We're set apart for Him. We should stand out so much, especially the way the world is currently going. We should stand out so much. Paul said that we are the aroma of Christ among those who are perishing. To some we're life, to some we're death. We should stand out so much that people want to run away from the light or they are attracted to the light. We are a people for His possession. You know, the world needs to see a fresh demonstration of this. Doesn't need a new definition of Christianity. Just needs a demonstration of what it's meant to be. There's all these new definitions. There's all these new buzzwords. We don't need another definition. We just need a demonstration. As I was praying during the week, I was thinking that Jesus needs to be not only our Savior, but He needs to be your Lord and your King. And that's the difference. Jesus can be your Savior, and you can be so thankful for the fact that His grace is sufficient for you, that He took the punishment for your sin upon the cross and He overcame. You can be so thankful that Jesus is your Savior. But we see clearly in Scripture that Jesus also needs to be our Lord and our King. Jesus said to them in Matthew 7, He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" You see, we show that He is our Lord and our King by actually following His decrees. The ambassador of America in Australia doesn't just do whatever they think is best. Their job is to pursue the interests of America in Australia. Yes? Hello? It's the same. We are not to just do what we think is best, but we are to pursue the interests of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is why Jesus shouldn't just be our Savior. He needs to be our Lord and our King. He needs to truly be upon the throne of our lives. Is there an amen? And so is Jesus on the throne of your life today? Have you bowed the knee to Him and said, "Jesus, you are my King"? We can sing it, "Jesus, you are my King." But you know what? We have choices to make that show that Jesus is our King. Jesus can break every addiction. Jesus can pull you out of the depths of darkness. Jesus can restore families. Jesus can give back what has been lost. He can do so much, but He needs you to say, "Here I am." The early church were one heart, one mind, one spirit, one purpose. That's what the early church was. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost and they became one. We're not even going for unity. We're actually, the kingdom way is oneness. Unity is not an event. People think that they can host an event and that's going to be unity. No, that is cooperation at best. Unity is not cooperation. Unity is something that happens in here, where you start to love one another as He loves us, and something changes. And whether I'm with you or I'm not with you, I carry you in my heart. That's why the Apostle Paul could write letters from prison. And he says, I long to be with you. I'm in tears because of you. I just want to be with you. Why? Because they were united in heart. There must be a lot of things that affect the heart of God today. There is so much in our world that must affect the heart of God. And I think we can all agree that God must be a lot more patient than what we are. I think we can all agree on that. But, you know, because it's what God's put on your heart, really, when you see the opposite, it really affects you. You know, during the week, I found out as I was doing some research and some study into some things that there are 48,000 denominations in the world today. 48,000 denominations in the world today. Most of them not born out of a God thing, but out of that I have a problem with Jim and Jenny, so I'm going to go and do my own thing. I don't have a problem with Jim and Jenny. And I think, hang on a minute. We need the Spirit of God. We need the presence of God. We need the fear of the Lord back amongst the church. Because the modern day trend is people just separate. The ways of the world, separation, individualism, elitism. They probably wouldn't say that, but I'm better than you. There's all this stuff. It's the ways of the world. It's the ways of flesh. Offense, unforgiveness, selfishness. It's the flesh. But the way of the kingdom is love, humility, honor, forgiveness, joy, peace. That's the Spirit. As Danielle reminded us the other week, we're not called to walk by the flesh, we're called to walk by the Spirit. So why then does the people of God walk by the flesh? You know, the kingdom of God is salvation. The kingdom of God is miracles. The kingdom of God is healing. The kingdom of God is deliverance as demons go in Jesus' name. Ho! Oh! That's the kingdom of God. And that's why he said, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. As you go, freely you receive, freely give. That's the kingdom of God. But you know, the kingdom of God is also about oneness. His people together. You are a chosen race. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a people for his possession. I don't know about you, but something has to transpire when it comes to this understanding of the kingdom of God. Because Jesus is not coming back for a bride that has 48,000 denominations to it. Can I get real for a minute? He's probably going to separate the sheep from the goats. But I think he's going to do a work in people's hearts, where denominations are not the focus anymore. My ministry is not the focus anymore. But it's one another because of what Jesus has done for us. I think there's going to be a tearing down of some scaffolds and some things, and I wouldn't be surprised of what we've seen in the last 2 years about high-profile ministries being found out for things. It wouldn't surprise me that we're going to see this more, because we've got to see this thing stripped away, because we have to come back to the first things. We have to come back to our first love. We have to come back to Jesus, and we have to come back to the gospel, and we have to come back to the kingdom of God. And there is no denominations that are in heaven. There's only a kingdom. Sure. Jesus prayed this. Am I going okay for time? I'm trying to. John 17, he says, I pray, this is verse 20, I pray not only for these, that is for the disciples that he had before him, but I pray also for those who will believe through their word. This is us. I pray that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. Whoa. No wonder the world, this is the word of God speaking. This is not Tim speaking here. No wonder the world doesn't want what we actually have. No wonder people are not as attracted to Jesus Christ as they should be. Why? Because we are divided. Jesus said, I pray that they would be one as we are one so that the world may believe. What would happen if we had people from every nation, every tribe, every language, every background start to come together and put Jesus back in the center and start to seek first the kingdom of God? That is why I love my Indigenous brothers and sisters. I love my Islander brothers and sisters. I love my Maltese. I love my Greek. I love my Scottish, because we are in the kingdom of God together. Sure. Sorry. May they be one so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. I have given them my spirit, my presence, my glory. I've given them of myself. That's what makes us one. We can only love one another through the love that we've received. Catherine said, I have to pick on someone else because she's not in the front seat anymore. So Jim and Jenny are right here. I can only love the way that these guys should be loved through the Spirit of God. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it in my own effort because it doesn't work. I have given you the glory that you may be one. The goodness of God, the manifold grace of God, I've given it to you so that you may be one. I in them and you are in me so that they may be made completely one. Whoa. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Friends, there is so much more depth in Scripture and this thing, the kingdom of God, than we understand right now. But we have to be committed to the journey to say, God, show us the things of your kingdom. And anything else would be like filthy rags. I don't want anything else. When you've tasted something, nothing else satisfies. I'm going to try and wrap it up now. Have you experienced that in your life? You've tasted something and anything inferior doesn't cut it anymore. I've experienced it at a lot of different levels. Soccer was one of them. When I was soccer coaching and you know, I got to coach the senior men, but then I got to coach state league, but then I got to coach the Tasmanian team against Melbourne Victory. And every single player on that team did everything I asked them to do. It was amazing. And they did it to the best of their ability. And in fact, they were able to, because they're at a high level, they were actually able to do it. You know, I've tasted that. And it's hard to coach again because I've tasted it. I've tasted what it can be like. Back in Tasmania, I've shared with you about the first church that we've ever pastored. We didn't know what we were doing. We had no idea. We just said, God, And God said to me, he said, just preach my word and pray. I went, well, that's a good start. We'll just start there. But I look back 25 years ago and I think, man, I really didn't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. But there was such a love. We literally said, whose house? I said this a couple of weeks ago. Whose house are we going back to for lunch? We would spend all day together, all day fellowshipping. The things that there wasn't internet, there wasn't sport on Sundays, there wasn't all this other stuff, and the church just hung out together from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. It was beautiful. And when you've tasted that, you go, God. We praise God, we've started praying with some of the pastors in the city, and I'm so excited about what God's going to do in that space because everything starts with prayer. We had our first prayer meeting this last Wednesday with those that turned up, and it was great. But we used to have up to 17 back in Launceston. You know, we started to get to know each other. All the gossip, the rumors, the slander, the accusations that we started, that you'd hear about the other pastors, you'd actually get to know them. And yeah, we've all got some stuff, but you'd realize that most of it wasn't even true. It was just stuff that had been said. We started to love one another. I remember, have I got a couple more minutes? I remember 35 minutes, sure. I remember one of the pastors tragically lost his life in an accident in New Zealand. He went bushwalking and he fell off the cliff somehow and he died. And I knew him because he was actually Nick's first soccer coach before I took over. I don't even know why I'm crying. And his wife and his kids came back. And I was just broken because it was my brother, tragically taken. And I was praying about it. And I said, Lord, what can we do for his wife and his kids? And he said, take up an offering for them. And it really wrecked my brain because I'm thinking the last thing they need is money. They really just need, But he said, no, take up an offering for them. Well, I contacted those other pastors that we were in relationship with and I said, we're going to take up an offering on Sunday at our fellowship for this family. Would you do it too? Some of them did. And I gathered the money together. And I thought, how on earth am I going to approach this lady that's just lost her husband? I mean, I knew her, but it's not easy. Don't even know what you're going to say. And I said, can I come and see you? She said, that would be lovely. And I remember going to the door and she just gave me, I didn't know her that well, but she just hugged me. She welcomed me in and we were sitting down. And I said, this might seem very inappropriate, but I've got something to give you. I said, we took up an offering and we want to give it to you. And she broke down in tears. And she said, this is unbelievable. Because what I didn't realize is because her husband died in New Zealand, all their assets had been frozen until they could prove his death. You know, they had to find the body, they had to do the thing, they had to do all the legal stuff, and then they had to get the body back to Australia. All her bank accounts had been frozen. That money was exactly what she needed. That is his people together. When one weeps, we all weep. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. Friends, brothers and sisters, the church in our nation has got caught up in so much petty stuff. People of God have got caught up in so much petty stuff that in the end doesn't really matter. What matters is that we start to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength and love one another as ourselves. What matters is that Jesus is not just our Savior, but He's our King. Music team, if you want to come, He's our King. That we bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and we say, Lord, remove that in me that needs to be removed. Have your way in me, O God. I don't want anything of the flesh. I don't want to be walk in the flesh. I want to walk by the Spirit. I want to be part of the bride of Christ that you're coming back for, that has made herself ready. Jesus said, when I am lifted high, I will draw all men to myself. That happened on the cross. That happened when He ascended into heaven. But I tell you what, that happens every time we lift Jesus high. His kingdom come, His will be done, starts with bowing the knee before Him. It starts by learning how to love one another as He has loved us, and to not allow the things that once separated us to separate us anymore. But we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul said, brothers and sisters, brethren, your life is not your own. It's been bought at a price. So honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. Today is an opportunity for us to respond to His goodness and His kindness and His love. That the King of glory left His throne in heaven and He came down amongst us. And He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Today is an opportunity for you to honor God, respond to God, and say, Jesus, be my King. I want you to rule and reign in my life. If you need prayer for anything this morning, team will be here. The prayer team, there's a few missing, but there's others here and there's others that'll come. If you need to respond to God today in any way, please come. We want to lift Jesus high. Jesus. Thank you. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done.